Insert with you in your Bibles. You can get those out if you'd like, just in preparation as we begin our time together. Mission Possible is the series that we've been in for the last several weeks. And we introduced this series, or I introduced the series at the beginning, by referring to the TV show Mission Impossible and also the movies. Because at the beginning of each show or at the beginning of the movies, they began with a tape recording or some kind of a technology thing saying, this is your mission. And as a church, we are on a mission. We're on a mission that's very biblical, very doable, and it's life-changing. And what I'd like to do at the beginning here, Rick's going to work with me because we've already worked this out in the slide booth and no one's going to go on strike this week like they did last week. Rick's going to hold off because I've asked him to, because I want to see how you're doing with kind of remembering some of the stuff if you've been here for a while. So we're on a mission as a church, and we have a mission. And in your insert, right at the top, there's a long blank line. It's not going to come on the screen. I'd like to see if you can write it down on your own first. So if you know our mission, go ahead and write that down. No one will be grading you at the door. But if you think you can handle it, just write that down. If you're not sure, I'll bring it up in just a moment. But we have a mission as a church, and we consider it a mission for every person who's a follower of Christ as well. So write that down. Everybody good with that? At least the people that think they know it? Well, we're good with that. All right, so here's the mission. More and better disciples. Just kind of blink at me if you got it right. All right, thank you. Show of hands is just way too intimidating. So more and better disciples is our mission as a church here. We want to see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and then when they meet Jesus Christ, we want to become better disciples, better followers of Christ, more like Christ. That's what we're all about. And it's one thing to know the mission, but then in the Mission Impossible TV show and in the movies, it not only said, here's your mission, but it goes on to say, should you accept it? So we're challenging you and you as a church and you as individuals, are you going to accept this mission? It's not just knowing what it is. It's not just being able to write it down. But are you going to take this mission on as individuals and as a church? Are you going to take it on, this challenge? So you know the mission, and are you going to take the mission on? Hopefully many of you have accepted this mission of more and better disciples. But then it goes one more turn. It's not only just knowing what the mission is and accepting the mission, but then we need to do it. It just becomes words and just a vague commitment or a veiled commitment if we don't actually do it. So we not only want to recognize what it is and accept the mission, but actually do it. And we have identified as a church, we have four principles or four purposes that we've identified that we think will help us individually and as a church to fulfill the mission of more and better disciples. As it relates to better disciples, we introduce three purposes and how they will help guide us to become better disciples. This is where the quiz comes in again. So, 3 weeks ago, we introduced the first purpose that will help us become better disciples. I'll give you the first word, and you see if you can write down the second one. Rick's going to hold off. The first word is to pursue. So, see if you can fill that in. If you're not sure, you can wait. But the first purpose in becoming a better disciple is to pursue. It's two more words if that will help you. Okay, so you ready? Go ahead, Rick. Pursue spiritual maturity. For those of you that are actually there for that message, humor me by saying, oh yes, I remember that, Pastor Jay. Yeah, all right, I'm laughing because I'm not sure how. Okay, so we talked about pursuing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, you want to become a better disciple, you need to train yourself to be godly. That means it's hard work, it takes focus, and there are results. Because anything that you want to see results at, you have to work hard at. And that includes godliness. Spending time in the Word of God, spending time praying, giving, worshiping, all those things are disciplines that we can develop to become better disciples of Christ. Second purpose that will help us to become better disciples, the first word is connect. Three more words after that. Give it a try. Write it down, see how you do. Connect. And I know it's a danger that it's on the back wall, but most of you are too embarrassed to turn around and look. So now that I've given you that clue, it's on the back wall. So we think you'll become a better disciple if you pursue spiritual maturity. Then you need to connect with other believers. I know you wanted to say Legos. Good for you. Connect with other Legos. It's other believers. It was the Lego principle that we're talking about. That we need connection. Christianity is not meant to be lived by yourself. There's many different ways that you can do that. You can connect with other people. Last night was awesome, at least in my opinion. We had 30 couples connecting last night at the Married People event. We had just great stuff going on. We played some really great games. We had like a crowd scavenger hunt. I'll just tell you a quick story about what happened. I was the kind of commanding the scavenger hunt on the keyboard and everything. And one of the things that they had to do as a team was to show me somebody who was wearing an awesome pair of socks. They had to bring them up and show me. So Rex was one of the captains for one team, and Paul was over here. Paul Heilman was the other captain. And next thing you know, I turn, and Rex is handing me a sock that someone took off their foot. I said, it says wearing awesome socks, not giving it to me. I made him go back and find somebody else because I was just kind of grossed out. I'm sorry. Like, what am I going to do here? So we connected. We had a good time last night with those other married couples. That's just one way to connect. So if you're not doing that, get your Lego out and start connecting with people. We want you to do that. Third purpose that we think will help you become a better disciple is serve. That's the first word. And then there are two other words after that. Serve would be a third purpose in helping us to become better disciples. Oh, you got that already? Oh, he didn't put it up yet. You're just saying, oh, so what is it? Serve others when it's convenient. No, self. Go ahead, Rick. So serve others unselfishly. Not a few people doing everything and not people doing the same thing, but everyone doing something. Serving. And it was great last week. As an illustration of what happens if people don't serve, I had my slide people protest and leave. And you didn't know this, but the people who were helping out with slides last week in your service, it was their first time doing it on their own. And they were a little hesitant that you would think they're really bad their first time they left. But I said, it's okay. I will tell people that I told you to do that. It's okay. So serving others unselfishly. Last Wednesday was Valentine's Day. You made a bunch of cookies. We took them out. There was probably 15 people that helped to deliver the cookies to almost 50 businesses and sodas. That was great. Stopped by one business where someone from our church works. And so dropped the cookies off. I met a guy going in and I said, I recognize you. And he said, yeah, my kids go to soccer camp. Love soccer camp, great. And so we took care of that. And then I just found out this morning that the person who works there had a follow-up conversation with that person who said, oh, I love soccer camp. And he said, well, you know, our church also has other things besides soccer camp. We have church and we have Easter. And he said, oh, I think my whole family will come on Easter. From the cookie drop, people serving. And you say, what does it have to do with serving? Well, we had probably 70 dozen cookies sitting in the tables. What if nobody showed up to deliver them? Or make them? What happens? Nothing. Like a theological term. In the Greek, it means absolutely nothing. And it's not everyone. We didn't need everyone to show up. But we needed some people, and we needed some of you to make the cookies. Thank you for doing that. And that makes a difference. Serving. Were people being better disciples when they served in that way? The answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. So our final purpose this morning has to do with the mission of more disciples. Here's what it is. We need to advance God's kingdom. Advance God's kingdom. So you fill that in. We need to advance God's kingdom. That's what we need to do when we're talking about making more disciples. We're talking about reaching more people for Christ. We need to advance God's kingdom. Let me give you a detailed statement about advancing God's kingdom. Go ahead, Rick. Here's what it says. You and I advance God's kingdom by developing relationships with non-Christians, sharing your faith effectively, and supporting outreach ministries of the church. Now, that is pretty detailed. And I know that within that statement, there's some scary thoughts. Share your faith, and then effectively, really? So that's intimidating. Or even developing relationships with non-Christians beyond just superficial. There's some challenging thoughts here, some challenging concepts, and I understand that. But I believe that we won't embrace this purpose of advancing God's kingdom. We will not embrace it the way we should until we get back to understanding a few answers to some questions. And the first one is, why? Why should we do this? Why am I going to step out and be a little bit intimidated and tell people about Jesus? Why am I going to be a little bit uncomfortable and talking about my faith with people? Why am I going to do this? Because if you don't know the why, if I don't know the why, guess what? We won't do it. Because it'll be overwhelming. There has to be a reason behind. So answering the question why is really important. Why should you do this? Why should I do this? Why should we do this? Well, as I address the question why, there's going to be a phrase that comes up over and over again. And here's the phrase, lost people. That is a Christianese kind of term. It is. But I want you to understand what I mean by that. When I mean by lost people, I don't mean someone who's physically lost. They can't find their way home. I'm talking in the terms of spiritual dimension. And here's what I mean by lost people. Simply put, it is someone, anyone, who has not yet placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And not yet said, I want Jesus to forgive my sins, give me eternal life, and I want a restored relationship with God. It's just someone who simply has not made that decision of faith yet. That's a lost person. They are lost spiritually both in this life and in the next. So it doesn't make you and I any better than anybody else. It's just a condition of if someone has not made that step of faith, they are lost spiritually. And when someone is lost, you know, physically out in the world, sometimes they will gather a search party and gather people to look for them. You familiar with that? If someone gets lost, maybe a child in the woods or something, they'll gather a search party. And why will they get people at that search party? They'll get people at the search party because they care about that child. They think that that person's important. Think about that when you think about God's kingdom. So you have this search party that comes together. Anytime, day or night, they'll come and they'll search for hours because they care about that person and they have a vested interest in them. But it's not just about the search party being thinking about the person's important. It's also because they'll bring people to that particular location who know the woods and know how to get somebody out of the woods. So why should you and I advance God's kingdom by reaching out to the people who are lost? Because we are the search party. We know how to go from lost to found. And we care about the person. That's why we should do it. So let me give you some more, just real quick, bullet reasons. Why should we do this? Why? And I know this is going to be familiar to some of you, but I needed the reminder. I think you do as well. If I'm going to challenge you, if the church is going to challenge you to go out and actually share your faith, and you're like, woo, okay, this is scary. Why are we doing this? Here's the first reason. Lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God. For God so loved the lost people that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not be lost anymore, but have eternal life. Max Lucado puts it this way, John 3:16. God loves, he gave. We believe, we live. God loves, he gave. We believe we are found. Lost people matter to God. It's almost like you can take John 3:16 and for yourself say, for God so loved Jay. But turn it this way. For the people in your life who you care about that have not yet given their life to Christ, for God so loved, put their name there. Make it personal because they matter to God. Lost people matter to God. Secondly, lost people are really lost. I'm not going to spend my time searching through the woods if they're not really lost. It doesn't make any sense, does it? So why would I get a little bit uncomfortable? Why would I be maybe just a little bit intimidated? Why will I get those butterflies with trying to share faith, my faith with my family? Why will I go through that? Because lost people are really lost. Take your Bibles with me and turn to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, I want you to turn there and see this verse before it comes on the screen. But John chapter 3, I'd like you to use your Bibles. This is in the same chapter where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world." We love that verse, right? I mean, that's the one they show at football games, behind the goalposts. And people around the country are going, "What does that mean? John:3:16. What does that mean?" So some of you know what that means. So that's a really popular verse. We love that verse, correct? That's like one of the top Christian verses of all time. But John 3:36, out of the same mouth of Jesus Christ, it says this: "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." It's not comfortable to think about, but it should be somewhat motivating that lost people will be separated from God in this life and in the next without Jesus Christ. So why should I share? Why should I be a little bit uncomfortable? Because lost people are really lost. My brother-in-law, who is scared to walk in a church because he thinks lightning's going to strike, gives us a hard time about that. He's really lost. I've got a lot of family members who are really lost, and I need to be reminded of that. Why would I share my faith? Why would you? Because they're really lost. Here's another thing about why. Lost people can be found. That's good news. Not only are they lost, but they can be found. Isn't that great? We're not going to turn there, but if you want to write down, or it might even already be in your insert, you can go back there sometime on your own. But Luke chapter 15, what a great chapter. Lost sheep. Did they find the one lost sheep? Yes, the shepherd went out and found that one lost sheep. And then a lady lost a coin. Sweeps the whole house. Does she find the coin? Yes, she does. Then the father has two lost sons, actually, but one comes home, and is he found? The answer is yes. This chapter is all about lost people being found. So that means anyone in your life and my life that is lost can be found. Anyone. You're like, "Pastor Jay, I got an uncle." You don't know my uncle. Is he lost? Oh, yeah. Guess what? If he's lost, he can be found. I got a cousin. She is thoroughly lost. Great. She can be found. I wrote down some examples. Who can be found? The rebel and the religious. The atheist and the agnostic. The prodigal and the proud. The self-reliant and the self-defeated. They can all be found. A couple more examples. The athlete and the artist. They're very different. They can be found. The functional and the dysfunctional. The youngster and the oldster can be found. The family member, the spouse, the friend, the coworker, the teacher, the fellow student, and the neighbor, they can all be found. You don't know who I live next to. They may say the same thing about you. I don't know either. But if you have someone in your life who is lost, good news, they can be found. Now there's one more why that I want to introduce to you that is really key to all of this. It invites all of you in. Sorry, none of you are excluded. If you're a follower of Christ, you're all invited in. Here's the last reason why we should be doing this. Lost people are reached by previously lost people. So if you're like, "Well, oh, I'm so thankful that I was lost once and then I met Jesus." Great. Guess what? You're in the search party. We don't even have to put a list out. You've already been signed up. You are in the search party. Turn to Romans chapter 10 with me. Please, Romans chapter 10 in your Bibles. Lost people are reached by previously lost people. Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is writing here, making a plea. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 13. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Lost people are reached by previously lost people. Verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So any lost person who says, I want Jesus, will be found. How then shall they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is a great passage, and I know it has a higher purpose as far as preaching, but some of you look up here and go, man, I am so glad I'm off the hook because I'm not a preacher. Preach simply means to proclaim the news. The people in your life who need to be found need to hear it from you. Well, isn't that your job, Pastor Jay? No, it's not. Maybe that's a shock to you. It's not. It's not my job to go into all of your lives and find your lost people. You know who they are. How will they hear unless somebody tells them? That's you. Turn a little bit further in the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think I put some page numbers in your insert if you want to use your pew Bible. Those are in there for you because I encourage you to use that pew Bible as well. So you're looking at a pew Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So you got Romans, 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is Paul again talking about his purpose as a follower of Christ. This is a very powerful verse. If you write in your Bible, I would suggest you write in your Bible next to this verse these two words, search party. Search party or rescue team, whichever one you prefer. Verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Isn't that a great statement? So God said, if people come to faith in Jesus Christ, I won't count their sins against them. Isn't that great? Amen? What do I do with that? That's just a great message. I'm glad you asked. And Paul says he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Us is not God. Us is us. Who's us? Us. One more time. Who's us? Us. We have been given the ministry, the message of reconciliation. Here's how it works. Anybody in this room that has been reconciled now becomes a reconciler. Anybody in this room that has been rescued now becomes a rescuer. That's why we do it. Because previously lost people, and I think I have, can you go back a couple slides for me, Rick? Just go back. One more. Thanks. I put that maze there on purpose. Because I thought about, have you ever been in one of those corn mazes and got lost? Anybody? Only one, four honest people. So, okay. And sometimes what they do is they have somebody on one of those, in one of those towers that looks down and sees the big picture and guide, turn left. No, your other left. And guide you out, right? And they help you get out of there. It's very frustrating if you're in those kind of things and you get lost. Here's the deal. Previously lost people were in that maze and God brought us out. Now he puts us so that we can see how to get out of the maze, and we're supposed to tell people, I'm pointing you how to get out. It's Jesus. That's what we do. So we're part of the rescue party. Thank you, Rick. You can fast forward to where you need to go. And this is not just for professionals, pastors, and missionaries. It's for everyone who's been rescued becomes a rescuer. That's what we do. The Bible talks about this. John chapter 1. Jesus confronts a bunch of guys and says, follow me. He confronts them and says, will you follow me? And one guy that says yes is a guy named Philip. He says, I'll follow you. So Philip follows Jesus. And then he makes the mistake of kind of going back into town, and he runs into his friend named Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, I've followed this guy named Jesus. I believe he's the Messiah. And Nathanael said, really? No way. Where's this guy from? Nazareth? Oh, he can't be the Messiah. And Philip makes this audacious statement. Come and see. I've been rescued. Come and see. And it says Nathanael comes and he becomes a follower of Christ. Was there a missionary in there? No. It was just Philip. He just got saved. That's silly. You can't do that without training. The woman at the well. A Samaritan, hated by the Jews. Jesus shows up, talks to her about things that no one would know but the Messiah. And she's like, this is the Messiah. She goes back into town and starts talking to the town people who can't stand her. They've ostracized her and begins to tell them, I found the Messiah. And they come back out and they meet Jesus. And it says in John 6 that many of the townspeople believed because of her testimony. What is she doing? I think she was lost, then she was found, and she decided to tell somebody else about Jesus. And she was not. Samaritans were not missionaries. And they would have been looked down upon. So you don't have to be professional. You just have to be rescued. That's why we do it. So we need to advance God's kingdom. The first question was why. That's the longest one as we move. You staying with me? You with me? Because this is really important. So why do we do it? Because people matter to God and to us. And we have that job. But it's not just about why we should do it. The next question that we want to answer is who? Who? And I want to answer this very simply for you by using a coin analogy. I am hoping it makes sense. It made a lot of sense to me in my office. It doesn't mean it's going to you, but I hope it does. I want to use a lost coin analogy when it comes to answering the question who. Because I want us to move from the first word to the last phrase. You with me so far? Probably not, but I'll help you out. So here's the first word, everyone. So just write down that word, everyone. You're going from left to right in your insert with those little arrows. Here's what I mean. There are a lot of lost coins out in the world. Literally. They're in your couch. They're in your car. They're every place. There are a lot of lost coins out there. And we may say, as individuals or as a church, there are a lot of lost people out there. Those are the people that we should reach. There's all those people. But I'm here to tell you, when you say that, it gets a little bit overwhelming. Let's reach everyone. Wow. Let's look for every lost coin. Really? Every single one? You might go, I like the concept, but that's a little overwhelming. So we don't do it. But now let's move, using the coin analogy, to another word, to someone. That means there's some lost coin out there. We're not looking for all the lost coins. We're just looking for some lost coins. And we're not really sure exactly which ones, but we're just going to narrow it down to someone. And which coin are you looking for? I don't know. I lost a quarter. I'm not sure if it was a quarter or a dime, but I think I'm looking for it. So it's kind of someone that we're looking for, but we're not really sure. We know we should be looking. So who are you trying to reach? I'm trying to reach someone. Who's that someone? I'm not sure, but it's someone. It's not everyone, but it's someone. How are we doing so far? Not so good, I don't think. Because you're trying to reach people. We can't reach everyone. And they're like, yes, I'm witnessing to someone. Who is that someone? Well, it's someone. Because if you're looking for a specific lost coin, if you just say, I'm looking for someone or some coin, are you going to find the coin you're looking for? No. Last phrase, this one. This one. Here's the analogy. You and I need to identify lost coins, specific lost coins that we are looking for. So don't you turn your paper over yet. Sorry, that was so harsh. I speak and I'm too harsh. Don't turn your paper over, please, because what I'd like you to do for 15 seconds is I would like you to write down in that space underneath the one with the arrows, I need you to write down some this ones. You know what this one is? It's someone in your life that you're trying to reach. A coin. Who's your specific coin? Write it down. I'm not going to check it. I'm not going to look at it. You're going to deal with this. But instead of saying, I want to reach everyone. No, that's not an acceptable answer. I'm just going to reach someone. No, you're not. You're going to reach this one. Please. So write that down in there. Who's the this one or this ones in your life? Because that would be really, I'm sorry, if I came to your house and you said, what are we doing? We're looking for lost coins. Which ones? We're looking for all of them. All of them? You're going to have lunch? You're going to provide lunch? Or I come to your house, you're like, we're looking for some coin. Well, which one are you looking for? I'm not really sure. How long is this going to take? It could take a long time because I don't really know. But if I come to your house and you say, listen, I have this really rare half dollar that I lost in my house on this level in one of these three rooms. Will you help me look for it? Absolutely. This one. I'll even show you a picture of it on my phone. That's the one we're looking for? Let's go for it. That's the who. The this ones in your life. You go from everyone to someone to this one. Now, the last thing, as far as advancing God's kingdom, why should you do it? There's some great reasons why. You have the who. And then the last question, obviously, is how do you do this? How do you do this? You're motivated. You've recognized. You've identified the people. You have the this ones. You know that you should be doing this. So how do we do this? Well, we should be starting with prayer. You need to pray. That is just the first thing you need to do. And what should you be praying? Can I tell you what not to pray? That sounds terrible to say this to you, but here's what you shouldn't be praying. God, save everyone in the world. I mean, I guess you could, but that... Who should you be praying for? You tell me. It's on your paper. It's on your paper. Yeah, you just created a prayer list right there. Pray for the this ones. I love... Colossians chapter 4, we won't turn there, but if you want to write down verse 3 in your notes there, if you'd like. The Apostle Paul was probably considered the greatest outreach person in all the New Testament. He was. But Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says to the people, the Christians at Colossae, the Christians that he was writing to, he says this to them, "Would you please pray for me that God would open a door of opportunity for me?" So here's with the greatest outreach guy in all of the New Testament who still thinks he needs people to pray that he has open opportunities. And I'm just so silly to think that if he needs prayer about his opportunities, I should be praying about mine. And so you should be praying about yours. God, here are my this ones. Here are the people I'm going after. I'm praying for them. And you don't have to tell them that in that terminology. I prayed for you today. Okay, but pray for those people. So pray, that's one thing you can do. That's how we do it. Secondly, you need to care. You and I need to care. These people in your life, maybe they have something that happens in their family and they need somebody to babysit for them. Guess who should be offering to do that? One of their Christian friends. I'll babysit for you. Maybe you're going to bring them a meal, lend a hand, send a card. If you're a student here, maybe you're trying to reach one of your fellow students and they're having trouble with math and you're good in math. Let's not make this too complicated. What should you do? Help them with math. Why would I do that? I don't know, because they're the this ones on your list. So you're showing some care to them. I want you to hear a couple statements and hopefully they'll be clear to you about sharing and caring. See, sharing the good news without caring is disingenuous. That means it's not sincere. People are thinking, you're just trying to get us on your team, on your tribe. It's disingenuous. So sharing without caring doesn't work. Also, caring without sharing is temporary. Because you can help people with math all day long, but without Jesus, their greatest need is not met. So it has to be both. But with caring, here's what they say. Caring gives you the right to be heard. Let's just be honest. If you're obnoxious and mean to a coworker day after day, they're probably not going to hear your Jesus story. Or if they do, it's going to be, yeah. So caring earns you the right to be heard. So you pray, you care, and then you share. This is where it gets a little bit nerve-wracking for people. I can pray. I can care. Oh, share? Words? Real words? Yes. I want to encourage you this morning as we finish up here with some basic things. I was listening to Tim Keller, Pastor Tim Keller from New York City this past week, and he shared about some ways that we can use some words in a very simple way without being overwhelmed. He said, don't get all caught up in knowing all the nuances of the gospel right away. He said, you can start with some simple words. So in your notes, I said, we can share using simple words. Here are the simple words he talks about, and you don't need to write them down, but simple words. He said, if you're a follower of Christ, you know what you can do? Just tell people that you work with or that you go to school with that you go to church. That may pique a conversation with people. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Don't tell them everything you did but go to church. If you went to church, you can tell them, well, I got up, I chopped some wood, I looked at my grass, how bad it was, I went to the store, we did some shopping, and is that all you did? Yep. If you went to church, you can say, and I went to church, and they'd be like, what'd you do that for? That's okay. Right? Is that simple? You could also tell them that your faith is important to you. Just maybe something's coming up and you know, yeah, that my faith is really important to me. That's all you say. Simple. Or you could say, my faith has helped me through some really hard times. Are those simple words? They are. Do you have to learn like an outline for that? I hope not. Start with simple words. You never know what the conversation will be. I was checking out at Patton's this past week, the grocery store in town. I had probably 12 2 liters of soda and 2 cases of water for our married people event. But when you have that much stuff going through the line, they typically say something. So this young lady said, where's the party? And I said, it's at church. And she said, oh, I don't go to church. But she made it sound like I don't go to church because she was afraid what was going to happen if she walked into church. And I said, well, this is for a married people event. She goes, well, I'm not married. She's just giving me attitude. It was great. She's like, I'm not married. I said, you know what? That's okay. We would love to have you at our church. And it's okay. If you came, I guarantee you, lightning wouldn't strike. I hope that's the case. I mean, it's pretty rare, right? So don't worry about it. You can come. And I didn't win her over, but I'm just saying, you know, it's okay. You could come to our church, and we'd be glad to have you. Because for that moment, she was like, eh. And it all started with, what's the party? Or where's the party? I could have said, we're having a married people event. Right? I don't want to tell her it's at church. Why not? Who knows? So simple words. Then you've got to go from simple words to specific words. Again, this gets a little bit more intense. That's okay. On the back of your insert, if you have an insert, if you don't have one, maybe you can get on the way out. I put some resources. If you would like to get some books that would help you with specific words or some methods, the resources are on the back. Greg Laurie has a great book. Bill Hybels has a great book. A couple other guys. I love the one that says, Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. That's the title on the back. And if you want to get those to help you, that'd be great. But here's some suggestions for specific words. Very simple. If you want to write this down, tell his story, Jesus, and tell your story. Those are specific words. Tell his story, tell your story. Well, what if I mess it up? Well, he died, rose again for forgiveness of sins. We can work on that. And your story is when you met Jesus. There's really no messing up with that. If you have that story, you're just like, this is when I was rescued. Specific words, tell his story, tell your story. You feeling less intimidated? I hope so. In order to be an evangelist, someone who reaches people for Christ, you have to be able to know the answers to every single question they ever ask. Right? No. Well, what if they ask about all the suffering in the world? Just say, that's a great question. I don't have all the answers to that. Really? I thought you knew everything. No. But I know this. I was lost. Now I'm found. Amen. His story, your story. Go for it. And then you can use inviting words. Inviting words. I'm not just talking here about inviting people to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about inviting people to hear about Christ. This is where it gets really good for me, right here. Because we have some inviting things coming up that I just want to unleash you with your inviting words. Do you feel empowered? You're supposed to say yes. Because remember, I'm not here to invite your this ones, you are. First, Easter Sunday, April 1st, no fooling. It's on April 1st. That's your first target for inviting words. Find your this ones and invite them on Easter Sunday, April 1st, 11 o'clock at Sodus High School Auditorium where they can hear about being found. Whatever you need to do to get them there, that's awesome. You're going to give them lunch afterwards. You whatever. Save up and do it. Invite people that need to hear about Jesus on April 1st. Inviting words. Come on to church with me on Easter. Where's it going to be? At the auditorium. Ooh, I might not get struck by lightning there. Can we do this? Should we do this? Yes. Maybe some of you don't understand all the time and resources and prayer that goes into planning Easter. We do it all in anticipation of you inviting people. That's why we do it. But here's another thing. We've got a second inviting event. On April 27th, a Friday night, we have the Sweet Life Comedy Event. Yes, this is awesome. Christian comedian Scott Davis is coming to our area. We have booked him as a church. He's going to be at the Sodus High School Auditorium on Friday night. He's going to be doing a comedy show followed by desserts in the cafeteria. He's going to be giving a clear presentation of the gospel. And I shared last Sunday night with people that when you're trying to reach people, I'm just trying to make it really easy for you. Most people like to laugh and they like dessert. So you say to your friend, you're this one, hey, would you be willing to come with me to this event? Well, what's going to happen? We're going to laugh, and there's going to be dessert. We're going to eat dessert, and then we'll laugh. Whatever way it works, you're going to do that. I need you to do it. We are going to have the word out all over the place. Here's what I'm coming up with as a suggestion. This is just a suggestion. Those people that you want to invite, it does cost money because we had to pay for him to come. It's $10 in advance, $15 at the door. Here's what I think. I'm going to encourage you to pray for those people and then pay for those people. Pray for them, pay for them. It's a new slogan. We're going to put it on your cars. Pray for them, pay for them. That way you're like, you want to come to me? Yeah, you want to come with me? Sure, I already bought you a ticket. You got to come because I'm going to lose money if you don't come. Oh, all right. Pray for him, pay for him. I'm not going to make you chant it with me, but pray for him, pay for him. Now, if you invite like 50 people, you might want to save for him, pray for him, pay for him. You don't have to. Every person in this room, a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow student, a teacher, pray for him, pay for him, invite them. Sweet Life Comedy Event. I didn't come up with that name. That's his whole slogan. Next week, tickets will be available. And you're like, should the church sponsor a comedy event? Yes. Especially since the comedian is a dedicated follower of Christ who will be sharing the gospel message to all those people. We want to sell out. That's 580 people. That means you're going to need to invite a few people. So, in preparation for these two events, Easter and Sweet Life, this is what I'm going to ask of you. Pray for those people, this ones in your life. But we also need people to pray for our team that's working for Easter and Sweet Life. We have a team of people. We would like you to pray for us. So as you leave today, there is a sign up in the foyer where you can sign up if you would like to receive weekly updates about Easter and Sweet Life. Like, hey, a commercial's going on the radio this week, or the posters have gone out, or Easter is whatever. If you'd like to get updates about how to pray for these two events, sign up. The only thing I ask you to do on the sign up is either put your email or your phone number, whichever one you will actually look at. Because if you only look at text, we'll text you the request. If you do email, we'll send you the email. If you don't do either one of those, write down, call me. We can do that. But I don't need one or the other. All right? So that's important. Thank you for walking with me today with this last purpose. And I just want to close by saying, perhaps you are in this room right now and you've been listening with this series and you realize I have not made a decision to follow Christ. We would love to lead you to rescue today. I'd love to talk with you. Even if it's just, can you just talk to me more about this? I don't exactly know what it means, but I know that I don't think I've done that. Love to talk to you about that. Why don't you stand with me? Our series, Mission Possible, is over with. But the good news is the purpose and the mission continues on. It's not a series, it's a lifestyle. More and better disciples by pursuing, connecting, serving, and advancing. It just goes on and on. I am excited about 2018, how God is going to make you better disciples, and I'm excited how God is going to bring more disciples. I hope you are as well as we take this journey together. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word, the challenge of the mission, and I pray for us as we know it and accept it that we begin to live it out. And even now, God, I pray for these two events that are coming up. What great opportunities to invite people to hear about Jesus. Help us to take this to heart. Identify the this ones in our life. Pray for them, invest in them, and invite them to a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. God, as we begin this journey towards these events, we commit it all to you. It's a spiritual thing. It is. It can't be done humanly. Spiritually, we look to you to change lives. We thank you for what you will do. In Christ's name, amen. You are dismissed.
Shattered like you've never been before. The life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be.